Starting at verse 1. If you've got a Bible like this, it's on page 1082. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it."
Thanks, Rebecca. Good morning, everyone. It's good. Well done for remembering the clock change. Those of you who made it here, I'm presuming the empty seats are those who didn't remember the clock change this morning. We're going to come back to John 14 and a few portion of the Bible that was read to us. So if you've got a Bible or you like a Bible and you haven't got one, please just put a hand in the air. One of our team will bring you one over. But John 14 and those first verses that were read to us this morning, John 14. And while that's open in front of us, I'm going to ask for God's help. If it's his book, we want his help to understand it. And so let me lead us in a prayer and ask for that help. God, our Father, thank you that you have given us the Bible. Thank you that it speaks your truth to us. And we ask that you would give us ears to hear it and hearts to believe it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If God exists, how do we find our way to him? How do you know what he's like? How do you know for sure which God's the right God? With so many religions in the world, are they just all kind of different paths finding their way to the same God, to the top of the same mountain? Or is one religion right and therefore the others wrong? Now, those are the kind of questions that people are genuinely grappling with, that our world is grappling with. We've had our Life Cafe open this week in the weigh-in area through there, and as we've chatted to people who've come through, these are genuinely the questions that people have been asking this week. If God exists, how can we know him? How can we be sure? Maybe these are the questions that you've got as you come to church this morning. Maybe you've been invited along today by somebody. And those are the questions you're grappling with. Maybe you're someone who already has a faith this morning, and those are the kind of questions you are getting asked by others because you believe in God, and people are saying to you, "But how do you know? How can you be so sure?" And it's into those kind of questions that I want to bring to us this morning some of the words of Jesus that we had read to us. Jesus brings something to those questions. He brings something into that conversation, something that's unique, something that's big, something that means millions of people follow him all over the world. And here they are. As a Christian, these are the words that I am building my life and my faith upon. And here they are in John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus says this. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In just 10 words, those opening 10 words, we have the significance of Jesus. We have the big claim of the Lord Jesus that sets him apart. We have the claim of Jesus that means millions of people follow him and believe him and build their lives upon him. Those 10 words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, what is Jesus saying? That's what we want to think about this morning, isn't it? What is he saying in these words? Well, first of all, and the biggest and probably most significant thing he's saying is this, that he is the way to God. Jesus is the way to God. A couple of years ago, as a family, we went to this place called Mersey Island, which sounds very glamorous, doesn't it? Mersey Island. Sounds like, you know, picture Palm Springs and all those things. But actually, it's just a little offshoot of land in Essex that's kind of cut off by an estuary, and it forms a little island. But the thing about this place called Mersey Island is that there is one road in and out. That's it. That's all you've got. It's the only way you can get into Mersey Island. And actually, at high tide, that road disappears. So there's only one way in and one way out. And if you want a more local illustration, then think of Enfield Island Village. Anyone been up to Enfield Island Village? Anyone come from Enfield Island Village? Yeah, a few of you do. One road in, isn't that right? One road in, one road out. It's this tiny little housing estate, and it's just got one road, one path, and that's the only way you get there. And in effect, if you can think of Mersey Island and you can think of Enfield Island Village with this one road, that is what Jesus is saying in this little phrase, I am the way. He is saying that he is the one road, the one path to God. That's what he's, in effect, declaring to us this morning. When he says, I am the way, he's using a word in the original language, in his language, that talks about literally a road, a path. The route from A to B. And Jesus is declaring, I am the way. He's saying that I am the path that you take from A, where you are, to B, which is where God is. That's the context of what he's saying, is I am the way to God. Now, he was in the middle of a conversation at this point with some of his closest friends. And he'd already told them at this moment that he was about to die, he was about to go to the cross, and he was going to go to the Father in heaven. And his friends, his closest friends, were gathered around him and saying, but how do we get there? You know, how do we get to God? How do we get to be where you are? How do we get to God, and how do we get to God's home? And Jesus says, well, you know the way. And they're like, but we don't know the way. And that's when he says to them, you do know the way because I am the way, he says to them. Now, he doesn't offer. Here's the thing. When you think about this question, how do you get to God? He does not offer you a system of rules to follow. If you keep these rules, then you'll reach God. He doesn't offer them that. Neither does he offer them a pathway that's about good morals. He doesn't say, okay, look, here's not a rules, but if you just live a good life. He doesn't say if you do that, then you'll reach God. Neither does he say that if you give sort of loads of money or, you know, a big gift, then it'll kind of oil the way and then you'll kind of slide into God's presence. He doesn't say that either, does he? No, he offers himself. He says, I am the way. He calls you to embrace him as a person. He is the way to God. He is the way to heaven. Like Mersey Island or Enfield Island Village, he's not one of many ways to get there. He is the way. Did you notice that? He puts a the in front of it. I am the way, not a way. I am the way. Jesus says that he gets us to God in every sense of getting to God. He gets us to know God. He gets us to understand what God is like. He gets us into a peaceful relationship with God. That's what he means when he says, I am the way, the road, the path, the route from A to B. Now, that's a big claim to make, isn't it? If, you know, imagine for a moment, I know you'd have to imagine quite hard, but imagine that we were the first encounterers of Jesus. And he'd come into this room and he says, right, everyone, I've got something to tell you. I know for centuries people have been scrabbling around to discover God and to find out what's out there. But I've got to tell you that I am the way to understand God. We'd all be sitting there thinking, well, that's a pretty big claim to make, isn't it? And that's very exclusive. So you're saying, Jesus, that everybody else is wrong, but you're right. It's a claim, isn't it, that's offended many down the centuries. But here's what we want to think about this morning. Why should we take Jesus seriously? If he says, I am the way to God, why should we take his claim so seriously this morning? Why should we sit up and listen to him? Why should we believe him? Well, it's connected to the two other things that Jesus goes on to say. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus says, first of all, he's the way to God because he speaks the truth about God. I want you to imagine for a moment that we lived in this room. Okay, you're going to have to imagine quite hard. Imagine that the blinds were all shut. And this was it. This was our existence. This was our world, this room. And we'd always been in here. We were born in this room. We lived in this room. And this room was everything we knew. And we were just living our life in this room, all of us together. I know some of you, that's the most terrifying thought in the world. But imagine that we were living our lives in this room together. And some of us start debating together. You know, one of us says, you know, I really think there's something outside of this room. And one of us is like, nah, he can't be right. And another person says, no, I'm sure it's right. Look, I believe something happened. I believe that we were all abducted by aliens, and they put us into this room, and then one day they're all going to come back, and they're going to take us out of this room, and then we're all going to be somewhere else. And somebody's sitting there thinking, well, that's an interesting theory. And somebody else says, oh, no, I don't think it's about the aliens. I think you've got it all wrong. I think that actually there is something outside of this room, and it's a whole other group of people like us. And if only we could just kind of get out of this room somehow, we'd meet all these people that were like us. And so these people start debating their theories. And then somebody else says, no, you're all wrong. Just look, stop worrying about it. This room is all there is. Just enjoy living in the room. Stop worrying about outside and just have fun in the room. Now, that's very much like our world, isn't it? We're all stuck in this room. But how do we know who's right? Some person's got a theory about aliens. Some person's got a theory about people living inside. Some person is sitting there declaring, well, just enjoy the room. It's all there is. How are we going to know for sure the truth about outside of the room? Well, you need somebody, don't you, to come from outside in to inform us what's going on. And friends, that is what Jesus is claiming. That is what Jesus says he does. He comes from outside of this world that we're stuck in, trying to work out, well, what's outside? Who is outside? Is there God outside? Well, Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you guessing. I'm going to come in and speak the truth to you. Jesus comes into our world from outside, and he says, I am the truth. Not just that he speaks the truth, although that is what he does, but he is the truth. See, let me just put some words up from earlier on in John's gospel, because this is the Jesus we meet in John's gospel. It starts off in John's gospel by saying this. It should come up on the screen, I hope. It says this. The Word, which is a title for Jesus, that is God himself. We've already been told that the Word is God. Jesus became flesh. So Jesus, from outside, who is God, comes into the world. He becomes one of us, and he made his dwelling among us. And we've seen his glory. That's kind of a God word. We've seen his goodness, his greatness, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, from outside, and he came inside. What's he full of? Grace. And the word that we're thinking about this morning, truth. He's come to let us know what's outside of this world, what is true, what we can't see, but what we spend so long scrabbling around to find out. Or again, let me put up another verse from the beginning of John's gospel, really significant. No one has ever seen God. Now that's true, isn't it? If we'd have seen him, then we wouldn't be having all these struggles and grappling around, and there wouldn't be so many religions. No one's ever seen God. But the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Jesus comes from the outside to make God known to us. He narrates God to us. Jesus says he's the only way to God because he's the only one to come from God and speak the truth about God to us. He dispels the ignorance that we have as we live inside this world, this giant room, and try and work out what's outside. Now, for those of us this morning that may be wrestling with the idea of the existence of God, this speaks a word into that, doesn't it? Because here's someone to listen to, because how do we know God exists? Well, because he's come and he's showed us he exists, and he speaks to us about his existence, and he tells us the truth about his existence. If we're struggling this morning with questions over which God, you know, perhaps you're feeling confused. Well, there's so many religions and they all believe in God. So how do we know which God is the right God? Then Jesus is someone to sit up and listen to because he says he came from the outside to speak truth to us. Jesus says he's the way to God because he is the one who speaks the truth about God to us. That's what he means when he says, I am the truth. Now, again, this is a big claim, isn't it? I mean, anyone could sit here and say, well, I'm going to tell you the truth. But how do you know he's telling you the truth? Well, listen to something that Rebecca read to us earlier from John 14 and verse 11. Jesus says this, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Jesus didn't just come with words of truth. As you read his life story, he came with evidence of that truth. He did miraculous things that only God could do to show that actually he is the one who speaks truth to us. So Jesus says, he makes this exclusive claim that he is the path to God, the one path to God, because, first of all, he speaks the truth about God to us. He comes from the outside to the inside. And so, therefore, he must be the way to God. But secondly, Jesus says he's the way to God because he brings us, he gives us life from God. That's the second thing he goes on to say. I am the life. Now, let's play a quick game of opposites just to see if you're still alive. I know we've all lost an hour's sleep, but you're doing all right. Okay, so here we go. On, what's the opposite of on? Very good. Oh, you are alive and awake. This is good this morning. If I say sweet, you say? Oh, I wasn't sure about that one. I was doubting myself whether there was another alternative. If I say light, dark. If I say life, you say death. And as you move through the teaching of Jesus, if you dive into his teaching and his words, you'll discover that the Lord Jesus puts these two opposites side by side, life and death. God is the source of life. That's in Jesus' teaching, we encounter God as the creator of life. He's the source of all life. He has life in himself. That is what typifies life. He is life. And actually, therefore, a peaceful relationship with God, you'll discover, is also described as life. Being connected to God, the source of life, is described as eternal life. However, there is an alternative, a flip side to this. As humanity, as you read the story of the Bible, as humanity walks away from God, who is life, what we walk towards is not life as we think we might get as we walk away from God, but we walk towards death. We walk away from God. We're cutting ourselves off from the source of life. As we treat God like he doesn't exist, like he doesn't matter, we're actually cutting ourselves off from life. And God says that as we rebel against him, we move from life to death, from understanding to ignorance. And therefore, the way to God is not open, it's not easy, because we have rebelled against him, we've walked away from him. and death, living in this zone over here, if God is life over here, as we live in death, death is the consequences of walking away from God. Death, physically, it is a symptom of a much deeper and a much darker death, which is the death of being separated from God, both now and eternally. Our walking away from God has led humanity into a horrible place, a dark place, a place of death. And it's into humanity's predicament of death, being cut off from God, which has this symptom of physical death as well, that Jesus steps up and he says, I am the life. I am the life, he says. I've come to bring life. Now, what does Jesus mean? We've got to wrestle with what he's teaching here. Well, first of all, I want to tell you that he means he's come to bring you life now. He came to bring us back into the life of knowing God, of having a peaceful relationship with God, having walked away from God, having treated God like he doesn't exist. Jesus has come to restore that relationship, to bring forgiveness into that relationship with God. Jesus came to deal with our problem of what the Bible calls sin. Jesus came to deal with the guilt that many of us feel for things that we've done in our lives, that we know, we have that inner sense that are just not right, they're not good. Jesus came into this world to lay down his life, to take upon himself our death, the death of separation from God, physical death as the symptom. He came to take it upon himself so that he could bring us to life, the life of knowing God. That is what Jesus was doing on the cross. Maybe you're looking into Christianity this morning and you're thinking, well, you know, why is the cross at the sort of the center of this faith such a gruesome thing? Well, it's because Jesus was taking upon himself something we deserve so that he might give us something that's his life, the life of knowing God. You see, through Jesus, through walking the path of Jesus from A to B, we are restored to life with God now, a peaceful relationship with God now. But he doesn't just mean he's come to give you life now. He's come to give you life forever. See, Jesus also means there's a future life coming. When he says, I am the life, he's promising us physical life even after we've died. He will raise us to eternal physical life. Now, again, that's a big claim to make, isn't it? For someone to say, well, I can give you life after death, you think, well, how do we know Jesus? How can you prove that to us? Well, at the center of the evidence for Jesus claiming that is his own resurrection. See, if Jesus rose from the dead, you can believe him when he says he can give you life now, the life of connecting you back to God, and then physical life after we die. Jesus says he's the only way to God because he overcomes and he deals with our death, our being cut off from God because of our walking away from him. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Do you remember some of those questions that we started with? If God exists, how can we find our way to him? How do we know what he's like? How do we know for sure what God is like? With all these religions in the world, are they just many paths leading up one mountain to the very same top, to God? Or is one right and therefore the other's wrong? Friends, these are the questions that people are grappling with, and maybe you're grappling with this morning. But it's into those questions that Jesus boldly and wonderfully declares to us that he is the way, that he is the way to know God. He is the way to have peace with God. He is the way to have your sins forgiven for walking away from God and to join you back into peaceful relationship with him. How can we be sure? Because he says he's come to speak the truth about God. He's come from the outside. He's the only one who can lead us that way because he's come from the outside. He's come from God. He is God to teach us about God. And you can be sure because he's the one who's come to overcome the problem that humanity has that keeps us separated from God, our death, our physical death and our spiritual death because we've walked away from God. Jesus overcomes that. And that's why he says, I am the way. I am the way to God. And I want to ask some of you this morning gathered here, will you go his way? You see, if you face a path from A to B, you're called to walk that path, aren't you? You're called to go that way. That is the way to walk. That is the way to travel. That is the way to go. Now, what does that mean? To walk the way of Jesus, to walk that path. Well, John's gospel would say over and over again, it means to believe in him. Not just to believe that he exists. Many people believe he exists. Our calendars tell us he exists. But it means to embrace him. To say, Jesus, you are the way. And if you're the way that I get to know God, then I want to listen to you and I want to believe you and I want to follow you and I want to take hold of everything that you offer me. Will you listen to him? Will you look for life in him? So you could do that this morning. You could do that today. And the way that we do that is simply to turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm sorry that we've spent our life walking away from you, cutting ourselves off from the source of life. Jesus, thank you that you came into this world to speak truth to us and to give us the life of knowing you. Jesus, I want you. I need you. I want to follow you. And if this morning you think, well, I'm not quite ready to do that this morning, then let us help you on that journey. That's what we're here for as a church. We're here to help people to discover the truth of Jesus. And maybe this morning you might want to just take away John's gospel. We've got these. They're on the welcome desk just out there. You might want to pick one of these up this morning and take it away and read it and just say, okay, look, I'm ready. I'm listening. Jesus, if you're going to speak the truth about God, I'm going to listen. I'm going to hear what you've got to say. Jesus, if you say you bring life, then I want to hear it. I want to see what that life is like. And so please do just take one of these away with you this morning. Thanks for listening so well this morning. I'm going to pray. And this morning, if you want to do that, if you want to walk that way, if you want to walk the path of Jesus from A to B, from where you are now to knowing God, then I'm going to say a prayer. And if you want to pray that along with me, just say amen at the end. That just is a word that means I agree. And that means that you've begun your journey of listening to Jesus as the one who speaks truth and life to us. So let's bow our heads and let's pray together. Lord Jesus, sorry that I've walked away from you, the source of life. I realize that without you, I am in the most desperate of places. Please forgive me. We thank you that you came into this world as the way back to God, as you speak the truth about God and bring us life from God, both now and forever. Thank you that you died on the cross, giving your life, taking my death, so that I might know restoration to God. Help me to walk your way as the way from now on. Amen. 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 Well, let's stand and sing a